Daniel chapter 2, we are going to read this chapter today. I would like to see if it is possible to finish the first 30 verses by way of sharing this evening, and then to do the second half of the chapter 2 weeks from now. So allow me please to read the chapter, and then we'll begin. Daniel chapter 2 and verse 1. And in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams, wherewith his spirit was troubled, and his sleep brake from him. Then the king commanded to call the magicians, and the astrologers, and the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans, for to show the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. And the king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. Then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Syrian, or in Aramaic, O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will show thee the interpretation. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, The thing is gone from me. If ye will not make known unto me the dream, with the interpretation thereof, ye shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill. But if ye show the dream and the interpretation thereof, ye shall receive of me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore, show me the dream and the interpretation thereof. They answered and said again, and said, Let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation of it. The king answered and said, I know of certainty that ye would gain time, because ye see the thing is gone from me. But if ye will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you. For ye have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me till the time be changed. Therefore tell me the dream, and I shall know that ye can show me the interpretation thereof. Then the Chaldeans answered before the king, and they said, There is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore there is no king, lord, nor ruler that ask such things at the magicians, or astrologers, or Chaldeans. And it is a rare thing that the king requireth, that there is none other that can show it before the king, except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh. For this cause the king was angry, and very furious, and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain. And they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the men, the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, Why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known unto Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time, and that he would show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house, and he made the thing known unto Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, that they should desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, and Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changes the time and the seasons, And he removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom to the wise and knowledge to them that knoweth that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and the secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O God of my fathers, who has given me wisdom and might, and has made known unto me now what we desire of thee, for thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. Therefore Daniel went in unto Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and he said thus unto him, destroy not the wise men of Babylon, bring me in before the king, and I will show unto the king the interpretation. Then Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste, and says thus unto him, I have found a man of the captives of Judah that will make known unto the king the interpretation. The king answered and said unto Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen, and the interpretation thereof? Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king has demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show it unto the king. But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. As for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed, what should come to pass hereafter? And he that revealeth secrets makes known to thee what shall come to pass. But as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living, but for their sakes that shall make known the interpretation to the king, and that thou mightst know the thoughts of thine heart. It's a beautiful chapter. It's a very, very interesting subject. I often say, and I believe it's correct, even if we'll close the Bible right now and we'll leave home, we would have the sense of the fact that the Word of God had been read, and it is very clear as we read what we read concerning what Daniel had experienced, that Daniel was a man of God, that God was going to use this man in the province, in the kingdom of Babylon. Now, I want to read with it just one verse in Luke chapter 21. Just to realize that this verse is really very much connected with the chapter that we have read. In fact, it's connected with the whole book of Daniel. Luke chapter 21 and verse 24. The Lord Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah, is speaking, and they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until, very important word, until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. This expression, until the times of the Gentile be fulfilled, is a very, very important expression. In fact, beloved brothers and sisters, Daniel chapter 2 and the image that we have been reading about of the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had been dreaming is really giving us an overview over what is very well known with this expression as the times of the Gentile. The time when the Gentiles are going to have the scepter, the rule, if you will, where Israel as a nation, because of the disobedience, they will have to go through a very long period of time until finally God, through the Messiah, Yeshua, the Lord Jesus, going to restore to them the kingdom that he had in mind for the nation of Israel. Now, there are two charts or two things that I want to show you before we are going to go into this chapter in a little bit more details. The first chart that I want to show you, I'm just going to start from here. If you notice, when we begin, this is an outline. This is an outline on the book of Daniel. If you notice, first of all, we have studied chapter 1 as an introduction. Chapter 1 is an introduction to the book of Daniel, and we have studied this already. Actually, we had about 2 or 3 meetings on Daniel chapter 1. We have seen that Daniel chapter 1 really gives us the introduction to the whole book, and we find there in this chapter, how did Daniel and his friend even have arrived to Babylon? In 605 BC, it was Nebuchadnezzar, who was not yet a king. His father was a king. He came down to Israel, of course. He took some of the vessels. He took some of the Hebrew Jewish boys, Jewish children with him to Babylon. And so chapter 1 gives us the setting for the whole book. Now in chapter 2 here, this chapter is, you notice this expression, times of the Gentiles. Chapter 2 shows us the image that Nebuchadnezzar has seen, or the dream that he has dreamed, and it shows us now through these dreams, it gives us the total, the complete, really a period of, as known as the times of the Gentiles. You notice that the image, according to this chart, the image is not quiet together. You notice that right in between here, there is what we know as the present day, the present age, or the church age, which is the age in which you and I live in today, which is really right somewhere in between. We are going to study the whole image together. It's going to take us a couple of weeks, a couple of studies. But I just wanted to see that chapter 2 gives us what is known as the time of the Gentiles. You see the whole image here. Here's the head. Here's the chest with the arms. Here's the thighs. And then the legs. And notice the feet, the toes, right at the bottom. And the stone that we have been reading about, which fell upon the lower part of this image. But to show it a little bit closer, you can look at this image now, and you can see now that the complete image, the total image, this is the dream that Nebuchadnezzar was dreaming. He saw an image with the head, the chest with his arms, the legs, the thighs, and the legs, and ultimately the stones, which fell upon the toes, upon the lowest part of this image. We are going to look over this in later on, but I just want you to see more or less in a visual way what we are going to speak about. Okay, in chapter 2, divide itself to a few sections. Today we are going to look at the first section. This is verses 1 to 30. If you're writing notes, verses 1 to 30, and if you will take if we give a title to the whole chapter, it simply means, simply the title will be The Dream of the Image. Nebuchadnezzar's Dream of the Image. And so, it's in the first 30 verses gives us the demand of Nebuchadnezzar to understand this dream that he dreamed. Nebuchadnezzar, according to verse 1, notice that it says in verse 1, it says here, and I'm reading, and in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams, plural. You notice the word for plural there? Wherein his spirit was troubled and his sleep break from him. Just imagine for a minute This is, by the way, it's about 602 BC. You remember? 605 BC, he had been taking the Jewish people down to Babylon, some of the Jewish people. Later on, he came again and again. But here, about 3 years after, in the second year of his king, he became a king. Of course, it's 3 years since the time that he 605. Now, he began to dream many, many dreams. You notice it says here in verse 1 that Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams. He dreamed quite a few dreams, and apparently his spirit was so troubled. His spirit was so troubled that he could not sleep. He could not sleep. He was dreaming dreams, and it's really bothered him so much. He really wanted to know the meaning of those dreams, and he lost sleep. And apparently, at least one of those dreams was so important for him that he wanted to know, what does it mean? What about this dream? He was so concerned about that. And you notice, by the way, in verse 2 and verse 3, he called the wise men and he demanded from them that they will help him to interpret the dream. You notice it says in verse 2 and 3, then the king commanded to call the magicians and the astrologers and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans for to show the king the dreams. So they came and they stood before the king, and the king said unto them, I have dreamed, and now notice it's singular, I have dreamed a dream. One dream that he was so concerned about. He said, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know that dream. So you see, he was dreaming many dreams. He's calling his wise men. By the way, you notice these, the magicians, the astrologers, the sorcerers, the Chaldeans. By the way, these are all his wise men, and the wise men of Babylon. He's calling them to come to him in order to help him, to give him the interpretation of the dream. Now, apparently, by the way, up to this point, the way the things have been working out, when any certain king in the Middle East or at that particular area was dreaming a dream, you know what he would do? He will tell his wise men, I want you to give me the interpretation of this dream. And it's no problem. And they tell him, listen, king, you give me the what you tell us what you have been dreaming, we're going to give you the interpretation. Well, it's very easy. You know, you can tell me what you dream, and I can figure out something in my mind. I can tell you what is the interpretation of the dream. But apparently, in this particular dream, he was so much concerned about that dream that he wanted to know much more than merely the interpretation. He wanted to see if these wise men that he has are really telling the truth, if they really know the dream itself. And so notice in verse 4, the first response of the Chaldeans. The Chaldeans coming to him, and they say to him in verse 4, then spake the Chaldeans to the king. And by the way, from this verse on, verse 4b, all the way to chapter 7, at the end of chapter 7, the language is changing from Hebrew to Aramaic. Right here, it says, then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Syrian, or the Syrian language, or the Aramit, what we call it in Hebrew. And from this point on, the language of the book is no longer in Hebrew, but in the language of the Chaldeans, or Aramaic. And notice what they say to him. O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will show you the interpretation. You see, right away they've done what they are usually doing. They're telling to the king, you know, king, you just tell us what is the dream that you have been dreaming, and we are going to show you the interpretation. Well, notice what he does in verse 5 and 6. He warning them. The king warning the wise men, and he gives them some good news and some bad news. In verse 5, he gives them bad news. In verse 6, he gives them good news. Notice. The king answered and he said to the Chaldeans, the thing is gone from me. If ye will not make known unto me the dream with the interpretation thereof, Now, in other words, two things are going to happen to you. Number one, ye shall be cut in pieces. That's number one. Number two, your houses shall be made a dunghill or a public bathroom. That's the bad news. In other words, he says, he's expecting, the king is expecting from the wise men of Babylon, he says, listen, I want you not only to give me the interpretation, I want you to give me what I was dreaming plus the interpretation. And if you're not going to give me this a dream and interpretation, there's only two results. Number one, ye shall be cut in pieces. And you know, beloved, this king was a monarch. He said a word. He could say one thing. He could say and speak one word. And it surely would come to pass. He would cut them to pieces. We know it from other chapters else in the scripture. He threw the in chapter 3, he threw the Jewish boys into the fire, into the furnace. In chapter 6, other kings threw Daniel into the lion's den and so on. I mean, these kings, when they say something, they meant it. Just like today, what we have heard of the condition that exists in Iraq, where Saddam Hussein will speak a word, will say something, the people will have to bear the consequences. Well, secondly, he says, not only they will be cut to pieces, their homes will be made into a public bathroom. Literally, he's saying, your old houses, I'm going to change it. It's not going to be a palaces and a places where you have great privileges. If you're not going to show me the dream plus the interpretation, you're going to bear the consequence. You're going to be cut to pieces, and your homes are going to be changed into a public bathroom. Well, that's the bad news. The good news is found in verse 6. In verse 6, he said, but if ye will show me the dream, then notice, there will be a reward. And the interpretation thereof, ye shall receive of me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore, show me the dream and the interpretation thereof. You see, he was not satisfied right now only to receive the interpretation. He this time was so concerned about this particular dream that he wanted to know both the dream and the interpretation thereof. Well, notice what's happening. Next, we find in verse 7 that this is the second time that the Chaldeans or the wise men of Babylon responding to the king. And look what they say to him. Then they answered again. And they said, let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show him the interpretation thereof. You see, they have done. They wanted to go back to the old routine. You show us the dream, we're going to show you the interpretation. You show us the dream, we're going to show you the interpretation. Well, it didn't work with him. It just didn't work with him. On this particular dream, he was so concerned, and no wonder he was so concerned, is because God was going to speak to him and to speak to all mankind, if you will, because through this dream, we learn so much about the events, about the ways that God was going to deal with men, about the kingdoms that are going to take possession here, if you will, to take rule over this world. He did not want to give them the dream. He wanted from them the dream plus the interpretation. And so next, notice now, verses 8 and 9, the king's knowledge of the fact that they are trying to gain some time, and he was very upset. It says here in verse 8 and 9, the king answered and he said, I know of certainty that ye would gain the time. Because, he says, ye see the thing has gone from me. Now, I want you to understand that here when he says the thing has gone from me, he doesn't mean in original that he forgot the dream. No. In fact, what he's really saying, the dream is certain with me, but I want you to give me the dream because, and the interpretation, it's very important for me. He wanted to see if they really, really have any idea about what he was dreaming about. And so in verse 9, he said to them, if ye will not make unto me known the dream, there is but one decree for you, For ye have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me, till the time be changed. Therefore tell me the dream, and I shall know that ye can show me the interpretation thereof. You know, apparently, they were playing with those kings. They were hearing a dream, and they were giving him all kind of ideas. You know, like sometimes people have imagination, as if they really understood what was really meant by the dream that the king was dreaming. Well, this time he would not give up. He was so much upset with them, and he says to them, listen, if you are not going to give me this, I know what you are going to do. You are preparing lying lips, corrupt words to speak before me until the time will change. You're waiting for the time. You're trying to gain some time. And so now notice in verse 10 and 11, the third time, the Chaldeans' response. In verse 10 and 11, the Chaldeans answered before the king, and they said, there is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's mettle. Therefore there is no king, lord, nor ruler that ask such things at any magicians or astrologers or Chaldeans. You know, they made a big mistake here because it got him only much more angry, and he was right now. Notice what he said in verse 11, and it is a rare thing that the king requires, and there is none other that can show it before the king except the gods whose dwelling is not with flesh. You know, they made a big mistake here because now it got him mad. When they said to him, there is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's mettle, or there is not a king that asks such a thing, it got him mad. And so, beloved, in verse 12 and 13, the king gives his decree. For this cause, the king was angry. He was mad. You can see that he was very upset. He was furious, it says, very furious, and he commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. And the decree went forth. The wise men should be slain. And listen to this, at the end of verse 13, listen. At the end of verse 13, it says, and they saw Daniel and his fellows to be slain. See, by that time, if you remember from chapter 1, Daniel began to serve, at the end of chapter 1, at the king's palace. He was one of the what we call the wise men of Babylon. And so by now, by the end of verse 13, we find out that the decree had been given. He's going now to destroy the wise men of Babylon. The decree went forth, and they were looking as well for Daniel and his friends. And you can just imagine, in the first 13 verses, there was a real challenge to the wise men of Babylon to show the king both the dream as well as the interpretation thereof. And so three times the wise man there was trying to get out of it. Show us the dream, we're going to give you an interpretation. Show us the dream, we're going to give you an interpretation. Show us the dream. And eventually, he was so upset, he was so angry, and by the time we got to verse 12 and 13, he was very furious. And the command was given, the decree was given, to destroy and to slay all the wise men of Babylon. And so now from verse 14 to verse 16, notice what Daniel does, the plea of Daniel. In verses 14 to 16, Daniel is requesting some time. And I'm reading. First of all, in verse 14 and 15, Daniel approaches the captain of the king's guard, Arioch, and he's speaking with him. And he says, Daniel answered with a counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and he said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known unto Daniel. He asked him, why is it that the king so quickly want to destroy all the wise men of Babylon? And Arioch gave him an answer, and he says, he gave him the information. He told him, listen, there was a problem here. The king was dreaming many dreams. One of these dreams was so important for him He requested the wise men of Babylon to come in. They came in. They did not give him any answer. And therefore, he commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. Then notice verse 16. Then the second thing that we learned, that Daniel requests for an appointment. In verse 16, then Daniel went in and he desired of the king that he would give him time. And the word there should be an appointment, not really just some time, but an appointment. It says, notice, and that he would show the king the interpretation. By the way, he was sure that God was going to help him to give the interpretation to the king of Babylon. If you just turn, please, back to chapter 1 for a second. Look at what we read in verse 20. Chapter 1 and verse 20, it says here, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. And then if you go a little bit back to verse 17 of chapter 1, as for these 4 children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all, learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. And so you see that God had been giving to Daniel the ability to understand visions and dreams and give the interpretation thereof. And so Daniel in verse 16 says, give me an appointment. Give me an appointed time. And I'm going to give you the answer. I'm going to give you the interpretation thereof. But you know one thing he does that is so beautiful? He doesn't trust in himself. He doesn't have confidence in himself. The first thing that he does is going to the Lord in prayer. You know, when this is very practical, when there are problems coming across our pathway and challenges in our life, you know, sometimes we're trying to fix them without, first of all, going to the Lord in prayer. And this is a beautiful principle to see here. Verse 17 now to verse 23, we find out Daniel in prayer. Daniel, or the prayer of Daniel. Notice how beautiful. First of all, the first thing that he does, you know what he does? He calls up his friends and he shares with them his problem. Notice he says, then Daniel went to his house and he made the thing known unto Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companion. I know we are on the topic, we are going to get to the topic, but just to see, what do you do? What do I do? What do we do when trouble comes across our way? When challenge come across our path, are we the kind of a people who are learning from the Word of God, who are going, first of all, to the Lord and talk with the Lord about those challenges? Or are we immediately trying to solve everything without, first of all, sharing with the Lord the challenges that are coming across our life? This is something so beautiful with Daniel. The principle that we learn from this chapter is that the first thing that he does is going to the Lord in prayer. But not only that he is going alone, this we would suggest this is what an individual prayer, but he gets his companion, his friends, and he comes with them, and he says, this is the problem. That's the situation. I want you to please spend some time to pray, to talk to the Lord about this situation. If you just put your finger here and turn to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 4, Peter and John, if you remember the story, that they had been threatened because of their preaching of the message of the Messiah, of the gospel. It says here, notice, it says there in, I'll just read verse 13, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge that they had been with Yeshua, with Jesus. And then notice it says in verse 18, they called them and they commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Yeshua, in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, Whether it is right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old, on whom this miracle of healing was shown. Now notice verse 23. And being let go, they went to their own company, and they reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said unto them. And notice that the first thing they reported, the situation. The second thing, you find them praying together. And when they heard, they lifted up their voice unto God with one accord. And they said, Lord, thou art God, which have made heaven and earth, and the sea, and all that is in them. Notice how beautiful it is. In fact, one of the first prayer meetings is found right here in the New Testament for the church, the assembly, the first prayer meetings, or one of the first prayer meetings is found right here when they have gone and shared the burden that they had collectively with all the believers in this local place. And in verse 24, when they heard that, notice they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. And they glorified the Lord and they began to ask and to request help from him. Back to Daniel 2. Same principle we see here in Daniel chapter 2 and verse 17 and 18. First of all, Daniel went to the friends, to his friends in verse 17. Daniel went to his house. He made the thing known unto Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions. And then verse 18, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. How precious it is for Daniel. The first thing that he does is share it with his friends, and they together are going to talk about it and to request from God help in the matter. By the way, you notice that this is, I think it is the first time here in Daniel chapter 2 and verse 18, the expression, the God of heaven. Why is this expression, the God of heaven, is mentioned a few times here in this chapter? This is most likely found in the books, in the scriptures, where Israel have been in the diaspora, if you will, or Israel have been outside of the land, or even what you call the post, after they've been outside of the land, they return, like in the book of Ezra or Nehemiah, you will find it. The reason for that is simply this. By the time Israel, in the book of Ezekiel, you find it, that because Israel's disobedience, the Shekinah glory, have departed from the temple. And from chapter 8 of Ezekiel and onward, you find that the Shekinah, the Shekinah glory, have left the temple, left the whole temple mount, if you will, went all the way to the wall, and ultimately returned to heaven. Now, why is it this expression? Because oftentimes you find the other expression, the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But this time you find quite a few times the expression, the God of heaven. In other words, now, the scepter, if you will, the rule that Israel as a nation have been taken for a time, if you will, and handed over, if you will, to another nation for a while. And now God is, if you will, from heaven, overseeing the affairs of the times of the Gentiles. And so this expression, you will find it a few times mentioned here in the book of Daniel, especially here in chapter 2. The God, they would desire mercies of the God of heaven. If you write down, I'm just going to give you a couple of places where it is found. In Ezra chapter 1 and verse 2. In Ezra chapter 6 and verse 10. In Ezra chapter 7, verse 12, and verse 21. In Malachi, or Malachi in Hebrew, chapter 1 and verse 5. In Malachi chapter 2 and verse 4. And if you want to read a little bit about the Shekinah departing, Shekinah glory, the Shekinah departing, Ezekiel chapter 8 and verse 1 till Ezekiel chapter 11 and verse 25. They are the four stages of the departure of the Shekinah glory. And by the way, the word Shekinah is come from the Hebrew word Shekinah. Shekinah means to rest. When God, when the temple was built, in the tabernacle was built in Exodus, then the Shekinah, the Shekinah, God's glory had rested upon the tabernacle that Moses and Aaron and Bezalel and others had built in the wilderness. Then later on, when the temple had been built by King Solomon, the Shekinah, the Shekinah glory, the manifestation of God had rested upon the temple. And the cloud was, the whole cloud had filled the house of God, and the evidence of the presence of God in the midst of his people. And time went on. By the time we read in Ezekiel, the spiritual state of the nation of Israel had been so low that the Shekinah, the Shekinah glory, had departed. And you know, it's amazing, if you read the chapter there, departed so slow, as if the people of Israel will turn back to God, that the Shekinah will come back. But slowly, slowly, the Shekinah, the Shekinah, have left the temple and went back all the way to heaven. And by the way, we read in the New Testament that the Shekinah, the dwelling place, the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, is the one who came to dwell. You remember John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then we read, and the Word became flesh and dwell. That's the word, to dwell, lishkon. It's come from the Hebrew word Shekinah, Shekinah. And he dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. This is found in the Gospel of John. But he as well in the future day will rest and get his place in the Messianic kingdom, where Israel is going to be restored, and he will take his rightful place in the temple in the future day. But here is just this expression in verse 18, they would desire mercies of the God of heaven. And so can you imagine in verse 17 and 18, the group praying together to the Lord for mercies. They ask for mercies. That they would, as it says here in verse 18, that they would not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. And I think it's well for you and I also, when we come across some problems, the first thing for us to do is take it to the Lord in prayer. It's so important to do. This is a good principle to learn. Then notice, verse 19, God gave the revelation now. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. He talked to the Lord, he talked to the God of heaven, he talked to, of course, to the God of his fathers. God had given him an answer. And then in verse 20 to 23 now, Daniel now is giving a praise and worship for the answer that he had received. Notice those four things we find out in verse 20 to 23. First of all, he's saying to God, God, you are all-knowing and you are all-powerful. In verse 20, Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. He knows he is the wisest God and power, the might, he is the most powerful God. And you know, it's so true that God is all-knowing. He knows everything, and he's also all-powerful. But he doesn't stop there. He continues. In verse 21, he's saying to God, God is also is a sovereign God. He has a right to do as he pleases. He changes the times and the season. He removes kings, and he sets up kings. He gives wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that no understanding. You see, he's a sovereign God. God is a sovereign God. He can do as he pleases. He changed the times. He changed the seasons. He removes kings. He set up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. In verse 22, he reveals the deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. Not only that he is a God who is all-knowing, not only is all-powerful, not only that he is a sovereign God, but he is God that gives revelation. He reveals to whomsoever he will, he reveals all that he wishes. And finally, in verse 23, he is giving praise to God for the past and praise to God for the present. I thank thee and I praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who has given me wisdom and might, and has made known unto me now what we desired of thee. And thou hast now made known unto me the king's matter. You notice he called him here the God of my fathers. In an earlier verse, in verse 18, he prayed to the God of heaven. But the same God of heaven is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of the fathers of Daniel and his friend. And so up to this point, we have learned certain things concerning Daniel. And by the time we have arrived to verse 23, he finished the prayer and he received the revelation from the Lord. And now notice in verse 24 to 30, the testimony of Daniel. Daniel went to Arioch, and he told him in verse 24, do not destroy all the men of Babylon. Therefore Daniel went in unto Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and he said thus unto him, destroy not the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king, and I will show unto the king the interpretation. That's the first thing he does. He is giving a testimony now. He went to Arioch. He said, Arioch, do not destroy anyone. I'm going to give you the answer that you wanted. And so immediately Arioch bring him before the king. In verse 25, Arioch brought Daniel before the king in haste. And he said unto him, I have found a man. And that man was a Jewish man, a Hebrew man. I have found a man of the captives of Judah, that he will make known unto the king the interpretation. And so the Nebuchadnezzar really wanted to see, is Daniel really is able to answer him? The king answered and he said in verse 26 unto Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar, art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof? And so Daniel now giving him the testimony. Look what he says in verse 27. He's being very honest with him. He says, you know, he's really repeating what the wise men of Babylon said. He answered and he said in the presence of the king, and he said, the secret which the king has demanded, cannot the wise men or astrologers or magicians or soothsayers show unto the king? He says, listen, I'm telling you what the wise men of Babylon already told you, that the human being, people cannot give you this answer. I'm telling you this the same. Not the wise men, not the astrologers, not the magicians, not the soothsayers, they cannot show this to the king. And then notice in verse 28 and verse 29, he's saying, but there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets, and he maketh known to King Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. And I just want you to pause here for a second. Notice this expression, the latter days. This expression, and I marked for myself, is quite a few times is mentioned in the scriptures in connection with events that were going to come in latter days. For example, in Genesis chapter 49 and verse 1, this expression is in connection with the 12 tribes of Israel. In Numbers chapter 24 and verse 14, this expression was spoken about in connection with Israel against Moab. In Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 30, this expression is spoken about concerning Israel's return to God. In Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 29, This expression is in connection with the tribulation. In Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 2, this expression is mentioned in connection with the coming kingdom. In Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse 24, the expression is in connection with Israel's return to the land. In Jeremiah 48 verse 47, this expression is in connection with the coming back of Moab. And then in Jeremiah 49 verse 39, this expression is in connection with the coming back of the Iranian or the Elamites. And one last one, Ezekiel 38 verse 16 is in connection with the king of the north, which will invade Israel. And of course in Daniel, where we are, chapter 2, verse 28, the expression, the latter days, is in connection with the times of the Gentiles. And so what we have here in verse 28, Daniel is saying, there is a God in heaven that reveals secrets, and he wants you, Nebuchadnezzar, he wants to make you know what shall be in the latter days. Thy dreams and thy visions of the head upon thy bed are these. And then quickly verse 29. As for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed. What should come to pass hereafter? And he that revealeth secrets makes known to thee what shall come to pass. You see, Nebuchadnezzar apparently was laying in bed and he was thinking, what's going to be the future days? And God, as he said, the God of heaven, want to reveal to Nebuchadnezzar events that are going to happen in a future day. Events that are going to shape history, and he want to show this to King Nebuchadnezzar. He says to him, as for me, in verse 30, the secret is not revealed unto me for any wisdom that I have more than any living, but for their sakes, that shall make known the interpretation to the king, and that thou might know the thoughts of thine heart. And so you see what he's saying, what he's telling to King Nebuchadnezzar. You were laying in bed, and you wanted to know what's going to be in the future day. And he says, there is a God in heaven that is going to tell you what's going to be in the latter days. And you can just imagine Nebuchadnezzar dreaming. All what he saw basically is that image. He was fascinated with this image. He didn't know what to make out of this image. But he wanted to know what's going to be happening in latter days. So Daniel went to the Lord in prayer, to the God of heaven. The God of heaven revealed to him the actual dream that Nebuchadnezzar had dreamt. But not only the dream. He also gave him the interpretation thereof. And so that the king would be able to see and to understand what is going to happen in a future day. And so I just want quickly, and we know we're going to stop with this, but I just want you to notice that, and I'm going to point to that. In verse 31, notice how it begins the whole story. Thou, O king, sawest, and behold, a great image. Here's the image. Daniel is saying to King Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar, you were dreaming, and what did you see in your dream? You saw a great image. But not only that, he's saying to him, and we're going to go into detail a little bit next time. This image was his brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. Apparently, the way that God had presented to King Nebuchadnezzar that image, it was rather scary, if you will, or terrible, or great, or majestic, if you will. As he says here, it was whose brightness was excellent, it stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. And you notice now, I'm just quickly going to mention it now, this thought. You notice in verse 32 and 33, we're going to go through it again next time. This image head was of gold. Notice the head. Here's the image. The head, apparently, he said to him, had the material of this head was made out of gold. Then in verse 32b,
his breasts and his arms, these two arms were of silver. The breast and the two arms together, this portion, was made out of silver. Then he continued in the same verse, he said, his belly and his thighs were made out of brass. And here again, you notice, the belly, all the way down to his thighs, were made out of brass. And then fourthly, it says here, in verse 33, his legs of iron. Here's the legs, right here. Those two legs were made out of iron. And finally, in this verse, it says, in verse 33b, his feet of iron, part and partly of clay. And so here's the feet with the 10 toes were partly iron and partly clay. And just imagine, beloved brothers and sisters, this is the image that he has seen. He was so burdened to know what is the answer. What does it mean? He was ready to destroy the whole wise men of Babylon until the Arioch coming into the king, and he's saying, I have found a man of the captives of Judah that will make known unto the king the interpretation. And immediately Daniel came in, and Daniel began to show him the dream. And one by one, he gave him as well the interpretation. Now we are going to stop with that.